Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily life, in the evening news, and in our spiritual search. I'm joined tonight by, it looks like, both Anne and Mark. Anne, are you there?
I'm here. I'm down here overlooking Boca Ciega Bay on a cold and windy night in Florida.
And how cold is your... Go ahead, Mark.
Did you get snow in Florida?
No snow, just wind. I didn't realize... I'm on a corner, so it's been very windy all day. The wind whistling outside, and I've been going out in the morning for breakfast for sunrise. Not always sunrise, but whenever I wake up. And I went out this morning, I'm like, God, it's cold down here. I need a coat. It's not cold, but it was like 56 with the wind blowing. It was very chilly. So, a little chilly, but it's good. I'm happy. No complaints. So, and Mark, how are you doing up there in COVID capital United States?
Good. Yeah, we're watching Omicron spread.
Omicron,
rapidly.
Yes, coming in. I heard it's like
mainly
21.
What it's doing is it's causing a lot of people to miss work because they're ill, and so we have staff shortages.
Everywhere.
Right? Yeah, everywhere. Everything that has staff.
Yeah. Are you having it out there, Heather, by you?
We have some. Yes, some of our staff from the college, the tribal college that Ren is a part of, has already got exposed, and some are in the hospital. But most everybody around here that's connected to the tribe, the Salish Kootenai tribe, has their shots. So not too many people are terribly sick with it. They're just out and not feeling well. And because it, you know, if one person gets it, the whole family gets it because it's a particularly contagious variety. But it's the... It's certainly not as lethal as the first few rounds. That doesn't mean some people aren't in the hospital and there are deaths, but there are dozens of deaths, not hundreds of deaths, each week here.
Which is good.
And,
rather.
Yeah. And part of it's how they've learned to handle it, and part of it's that they that this is a less lethal form. That does not mean it's safe, but that is less. And it is... You know, it got up to 20 degrees here today. It's balmy and warm.
Wow.
And my friend who was just visiting from North Dakota, where it was minus 29, and then with wind chill, it was minus 55.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a really a cold, nippy time there.
Wow. They came to Montana to warm up.
Yeah, they did. They came to Montana to warm up, which is a funny image. Yeah, it was 30 degrees warmer here. And, or more. So, and tonight, the moon is in Aquarius. It just went over Pluto, and the new moon in Capricorn over the weekend was kind of intense for many people. And the moon conjunct Mercury as we speak at 2 Aquarius, and the moon is applying to Saturn after that. So there's a kind of let's get down to work, a feeling of get the band back together, get the work done before Mercury turns retrograde mid January. How are you feeling it, Anne? How are you doing with that new moon in Capricorn? What'd that bring to you?
It's right on my north node actually. My north node's 12 of Capricorn, so it brought in a bunch of. You know, good news on a number of fronts and kind of forward motion. I'm feeling like I'm getting a lot accomplished, which is nice. That shift of Jupiter into Pisces is kind of like, ooh, let's roll. So I really felt that shift, Jupiter into Pisces. Like, okay, now I'm ready to go do things. And so I seem to have resolved a number of the communication issues that we were having. The elevator's working again. It was out over Christmas. It went down on, like, the 22nd, I guess, and then it came back on the 27th out for parts. So that was, you know, climbing up and down the stairs. And I had a lot of technology stuff when I first got down here with the Mercury Neptune. So that all seems to have calmed down, which is good. And now I'm feeling like I'm, you know, I'm catching up, you know, a lot to do, but also kind of like, all right, let's next. I'm kind of knocking off the to-do list, so I'm liking it, actually. You know, it's showing like, let's get stuff moving and out in the world. So.
Yeah. And Mark, how did you experience?
Yeah, I find the whole Saturn Capricorn theme is underscored with this new moon. And that usually does prompt us to be Saturn-like, so disciplined, down to work. And I have a feeling that people have felt more 2 feet on the ground for the last 4 or 5 days.
Not feeling like everything's flying around anymore. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And it's, I think that Sun-Uranus trine at the beginning, just to end January 1st, helped start a change. You know, I know Venus and Mercury are going to be retrograde, and it's going to review of what we've just been learning. But I also feel there's a real switch in the winds, just kind of hinting at it now. I think that Mercury-Saturn conjunction that doesn't quite perfect before Mercury retrogrades and then comes back, that won't be clear until Valentine's Day, and then I think we're going to see a real momentum begin. But and I think that Mercury Saturn in the air signs is talking about COVID is back. I'm noticing that every time there's a COVID flow, there's something that you could see is either affecting the immune system, or the Mercury Saturn I often see is restricting breathing, which is one of the as well as getting work done. And, you know, that's just the shadow side of that conjunction. I'm hearing relationship issues, that everybody's kind of so busy and they want to get on, and they're just sort of fed up with how relationship issues have been. So I'm hoping that people take the time and the patience with Mercury retrograde and in the midst of its three conjunctions to Pluto to stay in the moment with their relationship rather than imagine it, whether it's with their parents or their beloveds or their children, to stay in the moment with it and decide for today, decide for this week, not decide for all eternity how they feel about the other person. Just bring it back and do the work right now, and we'll see where that work takes you.
Yeah, Mercury wants us to do the work. He's like, okay, we got to do this. Yeah, and all those Capricorn planets are really asking us to knuckle down, buckle down, you know, and get focused on stuff. So
yeah, and also take responsibility.
Yeah,
That is the key.
Yeah,
that is the Capricornian key.
Yeah, he likes that word. How can you be more responsible? But also, it's letting other people. I've had a few people, you know, with their kids. It's been showing interestingly around kids for me, around kids wanting to be more independent or more free. Like, don't tell me what to do. I don't need you to tell me. So, you know, them, you know, and talking to the parent about changing how they dynamic with their kid, because the children want to be more. They want more responsibility. So then you say, okay, well, if you want to be responsible for this, I'm going to shift our relationship. I mean, I'm still your mother or your father, but I'm going to shift my relationship so we're a little more focused on what you can actually do. And also, I'm going to share my wisdom with you rather than telling you. You get to make your decisions, Saturn and Aquarius, but I will share my wisdom with you, and hopefully you'll take it into consideration when you're making your decisions. And it's worked. Like, 4 or 5 parents have shifted that dialogue with their kids and report back, it worked, it went great. I'm like, well, good, you know, because everybody wants to be recognized as their own authority or having their own sovereignty on some level. So acknowledging that and allowing, you know, as a parent, it's hard. You're their parents, so you're supposed to watch them, but then at the same time, you know, they want to grow up. And so there's a real push from the kids, like, I want to be more responsible for this. I don't want you to tell me what to do. And so, you know, working with that, you know, you have knowledge as their parent, but you also can't make their mistakes for them. So it's been really interesting. I've seen it more that way than in the interpersonal relationships, you know, romantic partnerships. It's more, And also relationships to siblings and how responsible I want to be about my parents and how I'm going to help. And, you know, like a lot of dynamic responsibility issues is the way I'm thinking of it, you know. So kind of interesting. Yeah. So. But all good.
It is. And do you have any thoughts, either one of you, on how people can, you know, I think that responsibility is such a key piece that people, that we're tying in taking responsibility for with autonomy and independence, and that the, that you really can't have one without the other. Now, we'll see how that goes on the commission. I know that Liz Cheney today, you know, the statement she made was, we can either be loyal to Donald Trump or we can be loyal to the Constitution. We cannot be both.
Right.
Which was an interesting piece, which we all knew, but which was an interesting piece to come out with in the midst of this Capricornian lineup, asking people to take responsibility and look at consequence. So, you know, that's going to, we'll see what happens with that. I'm also appreciating, though, Mars in Sagittarius has got a sense of humor with it, and Mars in Sagittarius is moving into a square with Neptune over this, you know, next week. And I see that as being able to let go of some of what we thought we wanted to do, old plans, old grudges, and start clearing the ground, because I don't think as the year improves that we're going to be making it, we're not going back to where we were, but what are we going forward to? And I think there's new plans, new ambitions coming up with that, but we may have to let go of some old grudges to create room for that. And I see that happening with Mars square Neptune from
right.
Sagittarius.
Yeah, well, the square of Neptune, it makes it more obvious that it has to happen. The letting go of the grudge has to happen.
Yeah.
It feels like if you hold the grudge, you're not going to be able to move forward, right?
Right.
And recognizing what does forward look like, first off, and then secondly, you know, what is your purpose in why you're doing these things? So I think it's important to come up with what that looks like for each of us. You know, what do you actually think is important and why? You know, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this plays out, because part of it is people really having to make a commitment to, you know, what their belief systems are. And I think that's an important component of the Jupiter in Pisces. It's like, well, what do you believe? And why? And more importantly, why do you believe it? And now that you believe that, what are you going to do about it? Because that's where the action step comes in, right? If you believe something and you believe that this is important, then what is your position on it because of this, this, and this, right? And I think those questions we're all going to be asked to answer in our own lives in some place because of the Mars-Neptune, you know, with Jupiter in Pisces now. Jupiter in Pisces says what's for the greater good, not for the tribe. The tribe is Aquarian. Jupiter in Aquarius, my tribe is this. My greater good, Pisces, which is the higher place for Jupiter, it's not so concerned with tribal matters. So I think it'll be pretty interesting to see how it shifts. Yeah.
And that would be a wonderful way of seeing with it. It's also the question of what is truth, though, I see as Jupiter approaches that conjunction to Neptune. On the good side is, you know, the spiritual approach to the greater good. The more difficult side can be, no, I choose to stay in my delusion, please. And I am also seeing that, though. It's interesting. Elizabeth Holmes today was found guilty of four of the seven charges. That's, again, talking about what is being responsible for your reality. With her.
Well, and she sold, you know, she sold a pretty big delusion, but a lot of people were
interested.
people were interested in being in on the delusion, right? Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that,
it takes two to create a delusion.
Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling that she sold it so well because she honestly believed it rather than let herself look at facts that were other than what she wanted to see. And I think that may be why she was so convincing. So we all have to look at those places.
I think she felt the facts were just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
She's,
right.
She's thinking a little ahead of the facts, but the facts will catch up and everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't true. Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I have to say I haven't followed the case that well, but I felt like what I read about it was limited, but I felt like there were clearly indicators that there were some things weren't really working well, but that wasn't necessarily taken into taken into consideration. So was it that what was she found guilty on? That she did, you know, that she knowingly did this stuff, or that she...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if she, or that she is responsible for not having, of deluded her investors. And, mm-hmm. you know, but I think looking at the place where any of us at any point can sort the information coming in, and, you know, people can look at astrologers saying this and laugh, but we know that looking at sorting the information coming in and agreeing to that which validates your perspective and disagreeing with that which counteracts or contradicts your perspective. And that's something we all have to keep an eye out for.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Especially this year.
Yeah, with the Neptune stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, my sense was, well, I mean, I get a little curmudgeonly about these things, but, you know, I actually was in Tucson, and I was with one of my students, and she was, I want to go do this blood test at the theater. You know, they get a drop of blood, and they can tell all these things. And I remember her telling me about this and me going, what can it do? And, you know, kind of a, like a drop of blood, you can do that and that with it. And that was the first I heard about it, but she had heard about it, you know, and it was in the CVS in Tucson. And, you know, and so I was kind of like, huh, you know, how did I miss this? But at the same time, what she said, you know, it had that quality, you know, I mean, I've got not a huge science background, but a semi-science. It was like, you know, like, what can it do? Like, it just didn't seem realistic. And so, you know, I kind of look at some of the stuff that's out there and I go, well, is that actually realistic? You know, but again, I'm a Virgo. So that quality, you know, that quality of doubting, well, you know, I'm a little bit of Missouri, you know, show me how you're doing it, right? But it's an interesting observation that, you know, people... Because people can, you know, the energy of wanting to believe in something, you know, whether it's a Bernie Madoff or an Elizabeth Thanos or, you know, like I want that dream, that feels really right to me, I want that. You know, it's interesting where we get deluded or how we buy into the delusion, maybe is a better way to say it. So all this Jupiter, it is the delusion because, you know, what she sold and the people that she got on gave her credibility, you know, the people on her board, but how many of them questioned the science of it? You know, they just were part of the, okay, I've got, you know, you came along with me, so now that gets your friends Bob, Ralph, and John in on the deal, you know. So it's an interesting phenomena that we do as humans, you know, that credibility step through your friends bringing your friends in, right? So...
Right.
But they said it was good, so then it must be good, as opposed to do I actually believe it is right? Yeah.
How can we explore possibilities and keep our critical thinking intact? And that's what we would ask our clients as astrologers, to explore the possibilities with us, but keep their own critical thinking and their own experience and their own validity intact. Don't be talked out of anything that is your truth. And you know, I think, you know, we've all done some bad reading rehab on people who have been talked into a different reality. But for the majority, I think most astrologers have this strong sense as we're going to offer you the best we've got with what we see in the patterns. But the universe is amazingly creative in how we can live out these patterns. So I want each person to keep their own critical thinking in mind, and how can they use these patterns for their own good to create the best future possible, rather than feel stuck by what somebody else has said or what they think the worst case scenario could be from those patterns. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep, totally.
Right.
Shall we ask, pull in a client or two here off the
net? Sounds like a plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We only have 10
Hello,
minutes left.
Hello, area code 516-983. You're on the air. How can we help you? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, area code 516-983. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Birthday is June 28th, 1985.
June 28th, 1985. Yes. Time?
9:54 a.m. Nassau County, New York.
54 a.m. And you said where in New York?
Nassau.
Okay. Yes.
I just wanted to see if you had any info or like any information on like the next year with regards to relationships and career.
Mm-hmm. And what are you seeing? You ready to roll?
I'm on a phone. I put it down to type, and now I have to pick it up to roll with it. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
No, good. We're good. It's just we have one hand that works and one hand that holds the phone. Okay, so we're looking at relationship stuff. So you're having Jupiter in your seventh house. Last time it was there was 12 years ago, 2010. Before that it was there 12 years before that in 98. So Jupiter going through the seventh traditionally does bring us serious relationships. New people coming in, you're starting a new 12-year cycle, which you started last year when you had your Jupiter return. So now you're moving forward into the Sun phase, which is ages 36 to 48. So this is a really big focus in terms of what's important to you, where you're going, and how it works. Your progressed moon is about to enter the house of commitment in about 2.5 months. So we see that as a positive. In 10 months, it goes into Aries. So the caution would be with the moon on Neptune, progress moon on Neptune right now, is that you may be a little dreamy about what partner looks like, but you also have your ascendant and your midheaven changing signs into signs of partnership and relationship over the next year and a half, year and 3 months. So there's really serious relationship energy right at the cusp of it, right at the, mm-hmm. like right sitting at the very edge, like, oh, I'm almost ready. Your progressed midheaven's going to come to your progressed Venus, and your progressed ascendant's going to come to your marriage planet, Juno, partnership. So there's a lot of really positive things going on. I would say the issue for you is to be clear about what you're looking for. A lot of times with Saturn in Saturn in Scorpio, we can have fear of commitment or be anxious about commitment. And with your moon down there in that house, it's a lot about, well, what do you actually think you want in a partner in a relationship? What does that look like? And really clearing out some of the old belief systems you got as a kid that maybe don't serve you, and giving yourself an opportunity for new ones. You're having nice aspects. Mm-hmm. So I'm very optimistic with Jupiter in your seventh. A lot of times that brings in new people that are part of your tribe for the
It may not be the next few months, but I completely agree on that for the year. Saturn's still coming to conjunct your Jupiter, and Jupiter rules your seventh house of partnership. So so that's this spring, Uranus is opposing your moon, and Saturn's conjunct your Jupiter. And so there's still some working out, and I think it's what Anne was talking about the delays, the emotional patterns that kind of keep people at distance and where that you're doing some deep healing around some early emotional issues around communication and a tendency to shut down or to withdraw rather than to get in there and work things out with people. So I would say both in work and in relationship, stay connected. Use that Uranus on your moon in the third this spring as a chance to try different relationship habits, different patterns. Don't let yourself retreat. See if you can try new communication signals to work things through. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And
Mark, you want to say anything?
Yeah. Be sure that you look at whoever you're interested in as a mirror for yourself. Just see in the mirror what you want to see. Like really, really let that person show you things. And you're open to doing that now in a way that you haven't been so much in the past.
Okay,
so,
great. Thank you.
Good.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Good night. You too. Take care.
Thanks for calling.
And that was good. Let's see. We've got 3 minutes. It's a little tight to call anybody else. So we'll hold on that for until next week. We'll try to get a few more in there. So I have a webinar coming up this Wednesday with Sam Reynolds and Daniel Fiveson. If anybody is interested in, you know, you can download this at any time. But if you're interested in getting a ticket, email me, rowanrobbins@aol.com, and I'll send you the info. Mark and Ann, do you have anything coming up that you'd like to talk about or share some ideas on?
I just did a webinar in the year ahead, so it'll be being posted on Facebook. We just did it tonight, so it was, you know, it was full. So it'll
Wonderful.
Be posted for downloading, and it steps you through the year ahead and what's going on. And I'm also going to start teaching astrology in this month, around January 12th. So I'll be offering some astrology classes online. So that's
online.
Me.
Wonderful.
That's what I'm doing. Yep. Mm-hmm. And Mark?
At the moment, nothing in the great public world, but just readings. And at some point, I'll teach a class, maybe in the spring.
Okay.
Wonderful. So, and are you teaching yoga still online, or is that part of?
Yeah, online and also in person. We just started.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, good.
Where are
Yay.
You teaching in person?
At Integral Yoga Institute in New York.
Very
so
cool.
If anybody wants to work with you on that, they would contact you through the Integral Yoga Institute? Wonderful.
Yeah, or just contact me directly, too.
Mm-hmm. And your email address is on the website, and it is where?
It's Mark Wolf at dharmarising.com.
Wonderful. Oh, that's lovely. And for the last 90 seconds, just, you know, I'm going to ask people, because as we get really busy, there's a good sense of humor with that Mars in Sagittarius, but it can kind of, you know, sneak out around the edges. But what there isn't much of right now is emotional sensitivity or intimacy. Everybody's so busy or so focused on a major issue in their life, they can be a little oblivious of the people close to home. So I just ask you to notice those close to you and check in with them.
And also,
Mark,
look up at the sky tonight. There's a meteor shower.
Oh, beautiful.
It's supposed to be tonight and tomorrow night.
And do you know which direction?
I don't know for sure. It may vary locally, so you have to look.
Go up and look around.
Yeah.
And Anne, what's your last piece of advice for these lovely people?
The Sun-Venus conjunction happens on the 8th and the 9th. It's an inferior or an interior conjunction, so it's very much a time to sit quietly with your heart because it's starting a new 8-year cycle around your heart path and where you want to go emotionally. It's meeting up at 18 of Capricorn, so it's a definitely sensitive time for folks to take a little extra time to, you know, feel the love and feel the blessings and to thank the people in your life, you know, that are important to you, because there's a recognition of time and, you know, how much we have or how little we have. I don't know which way you want to work at it, but there's definitely a sense of, with that Venus-Sun conjunction, a new heart path opening up. So giving yourself mm-hmm. a little extra emotional space to feel connected to the people you love. So I agree
Wonderful.
With you about checking in with folks and kind of, you know, making sure they're okay, you know, because it is kind of busy. So.
Okay, and that's wonderful. We'll see you all next week. This is Heather Rowan Robbins from Montana.
Mark mm-hmm. Wilkes from New York.
Ann Ortley from Florida, Boca Ciega Bay.
Okay.
Wonderful. See you all next week.
See you all next week. Bye.
Bye.